you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for that inward working of your Holy Spirit within our hearts and within our lives. We thank you, Lord Jesus, just for the indwelling Christ, your presencing, and your workmanship. We thank you, Lord. Now, Father, as we look at your word together, I just ask for broken bread, the ministry of spirit and life, Lord, that which is on your heart might find expression. We just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I feel so blessed. And the song that you were singing in his presence, it kind of caught everything I was going to say, so I can sit down now. Thank you. Well, let me just share a little bit of my testimony, which will help me get to where I want to go. But some of you have heard me say, I grew up in Bible school. I was about 4 years old when my dad went to Bible school. Then he went to another Bible school. Then he taught at a Bible school. Then he opened up a Bible school. So, and that type of Bible school environment, now today things are changing a little bit, but it was very strict, the rules and the regulations, you know, the guys on one side, the girls on the other side, and very strict environment. And for a purpose, you had a lot of people living together, and they were just establishing boundaries so that the reason why people came to Bible school would be fulfilled and they wouldn't get distracted. Even so, Pinecrest, when it was still there, even with all of this, they still sometimes would call it Pinecrest Bridal Training Center. It seems like when two people are supposed to be together, they find each other. But I grew up in Bible schools. And in that environment, there were those who were really hungry for the Lord, and there were those who were just getting by. There were those two. And I understood heaven. I understood hell. I understood that behavior carried consequences, and I didn't want to go to hell. But that's more or less what governed my life, was just trying to really have my own way as much as I could without having too much consequence, without getting into too much trouble. I definitely wanted to go to heaven, but that was pretty much the level that I lived at. And it was later, it was in 1981. I feel like I'm echoing just a little. But it was in 1981 that through an accident, we were living in Florida. We had our first new house and had another piece of land. We were going to build another house and become mortgage free. And through a misunderstanding, my husband was a carpenter. He's retired now. He's not here because of health problems, but he's a powerful man of prayer. He loves the Lord, but he was working in the hot sun in the summer in Florida, and I thought, well, we'll go up north to the Adirondacks and work for the summer, and then come back home. And my dad just heard us going up to the Adirondacks and didn't hear about us going back home. And through that, I found out that he had had a word about his children working with him. And when I heard that, the Lord struck my heart. And I asked David if he would be willing, and he's been always more than willing to do anything that God would have him do. And we put our house up for sale I thought we were going to the Bible school. For those of you who knew Pinecrest, I ended up in Avoca for 6 years where they had an adult care home. From there, we were sent to Long Island. And from Long Island, I was sent to D.C., which we had a fellowship here. And we began these conferences at the Peach Orchard. And from there, I went up to the Bible school where I taught for 11 years. And I was with a beautiful church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and was pastoring the church when, starting with when I was first in the D.C. area, this thing about a faith home had started to stir in my heart. I don't know if you ever heard of Martha Wing Robinson, Radiant Glory, going back to the, probably what, the 30s, but it was a core of people who met together and prayed together. They didn't have any sign on the door. They never advertised, but somehow the Lord would draw people. And they would come, and they would have an encounter with the Lord. They would leave, and somebody else would show up. And people from all over the United States and other countries would end up at the faith home. And when I heard of that, I said, yeah, you know, that a place marked by the Lord's presence that helps give vocabulary to what's stirring in my heart and what's on my heart. Well, then I heard of this revival, which was over in Wales. There was a couple who had a retreat center that they were overseeing, and they just, did you ever hear of a dissatisfied satisfaction? They appreciated what was happening, and what, but they just felt dissatisfied and started to really, really pray. And as they were praying and going about this work, their work, but feeling this dissatisfaction, but praying, the dissatisfaction was causing them to pray. And, you know, sometimes when we have a dissatisfaction, we complain instead of praying. And then we miss what God wants to do. But they prayed. And all of a sudden, cars started to stop in. And they would say, we were just driving by and we felt compelled to turn in. Who are you? What are you doing? And so they would give them a little tour of the facility. And then they would say, may I bless you? And they would just speak a blessing over them. The next thing you know, they were usually on the floor. And they would have an encounter with God. The couple would go back to their work, and when it was all done, they got to hear the testimony. And person after person after person started to stop in until it was a revival that burst forth. And just people coming in, speaking blessing over them, the Lord working within hearts, but becoming known as a place marked by His presence. So as I had these things stirring in me, the Lord provided a place. And in the Lord doing that, I understand that things like that don't just happen, that there's a purpose. And the burning desire within my heart is to see the purposes of the Lord fulfilled. I have referred to these prophecies that came in 1991. I refer to them almost every time we have a meeting because they're deeply interwoven in what we're doing. We were speaking this morning. Rodney was sharing about the effect of our words. You know, our words have power. Well, it's not just an impact on us or those in the room. There's an impact in the heavenlies as we're worshiping the Lord, as we're declaring the greatness and the excellency of our God, as we're worshiping the Lord, there's an impact. Scripture tells us that principalities and powers work through children of disobedience. Well, there's a weakening of that when there's an overcoming people gathered together who they can't work through. But not only that, the scripture tells us that the enemy flees at the presence of the Lord. So we know from Scripture that as we're worshiping the Lord inhabits his praises. So as we're worshiping the Lord, these powers can't work through us, so they're weakened. But not only that, there's a releasing of the presence of God because he's inhabiting his. So there comes a displacement. See, with spiritual warfare, a demon will respond to authority. You cast it out in the name of Jesus. But with the spiritual warfare, there's a displacement. As I'm worshiping the Lord, there's a pushing back of the powers of darkness as the presencing of God is established. And as we're coming together, the Lord will meet individual needs. There's provision, there's healing, there's blessing. But there's more than that, because the Lord uses us in our corporate gatherings in establishing places of his presence that he might work and move. Well, I've been in different visitations and moves of God. And when that corporate anointing is being released is usually during the worship. And that's why we don't rush with the worship. We just take our time. Most of us need that time anyhow to just be able to spend time in the Lord's presence. But not only that, as we're worshiping the Lord, there's a corporate anointing that's increasing. When a people are allowing the Lord to work within their hearts, you look at the first time that worship is mentioned in Scripture. It's when Abraham offered Isaac on the altar. It wasn't just good songs coming out with good rhythm and good beat or a whole week, but it had to do with an inward working of the Lord, something going on inside his heart as he laid Isaac on the altar and then worshiped God. And when you get a people together who have that level of consecration and commitment, where the Lord is working on the inside, and from that inner working of the Lord, there's coming a worship. There's coming an exalting of the Lord Jesus Christ, the lifting up of his name. It's powerful. That is worship. And as we take our time, we might have some moments where it's just quiet. Ezekiel 1, you see a picture of that corporate function. The living creatures, they're a cryptic type of the overcomer, but their wings were joined. They moved when the Spirit moved. They waited when the Spirit waited. Their work, it was pictured as a wheel within the middle of a wheel, where hidden Christ Jesus. But there's a moving in the anointing. And when we learn to do that corporately, not only in my own individual life, am I learning to be led by the Holy Spirit? Am I learning to hear from God? Am I trusting the Lord for his revelation and his light and his truth to shine in me and shine out from me to others? But as I'm learning to come into that flow of anointing individually, but also corporately, when I'm learning to flow with other believers, when we can come together and flow together, this is entirely different than when you're getting together more on a social level and you have different personalities and temperaments. So you have to give guidelines and you have to, you know, do all this. But when you have a people where the Holy Spirit is truly working within, and individually, you're learning how to be led by the Holy Spirit and flow in the anointing. And then when you come together corporately, flow together, it's powerful. It's powerful. And this is what God is calling us to. He's establishing places. I'm amazed at how many ministries are here, different ministries. But The Lord is establishing places marked by his presence where people can come into this level of relationship in the anointing. It's not just the pastor up front anymore. It's not, well, if I have a word, we'll have a good meeting. It's if we're all flowing in the anointing, we're going to have a good meeting. Hallelujah. But this is the word that I carry, and this is why we're here. It says, faithful in the calling, I tell you, that brings tears to my eyes. Because the reward isn't so much for what I do or where God has called me, but wherever God has placed me, that I be faithful. So, be faithful in the calling. Yes, because I was asked to continue Wade Taylor Ministries. My dad had appointed that to me. But also because of the word of the Lord. And for those of you who knew my dad, he used to talk from Genesis about the voice of the Lord walking. When my dad was in Bible school, there was an impartation that he had received from two teachers in particular, John Wright Follett and Walter Butler. Impacted his life. My dad took those teachings, ate them, partook of them, but then he moved forward with them. He didn't park. He moved forward with them. And I can still remember when my dad's homegoing totally caught us by surprise. My mother, we were expecting that. She'd been very ill for the last 3 years, not ill, feeble. But I had been progressively so through the years. But my dad, I just had breakfast with him. You know, he was just going to get his car inspected. And but when I found out, when I heard the news, that verse out of Genesis about the voice of the Lord walking was just burning inside of me. And the only thing I could think is, that which we have received, may we be good stewards of it. But may we embrace it. May we embrace it, but may we move forward with it into that which God is doing today. Years ago, when I had my first fellowship in the D.C. area, we had had a conference, and I've shared this, but my dad was speaking at the conference as the pastor. I was going to be sharing Sunday morning. Well, people coming to the church all wanted copies of the conference. So I'm there trying to make all these tapes, you know, so that I'll have them ready for the people when they come Sunday morning. And, preparing myself to speak, and I'm thinking, really, they just want these tapes, you know. And the Lord met me there. It was just one of those moments. The Lord met me there, and I could see the voice of the Lord walking. And I can remember tears. When I saw it, tears came, because at the time I was just trying to do it as good as I could, you know. But I saw that voice of the Lord walking. And I knew that we not only needed to see the wise householder brings out treasures old and new. And there's a present word that my dad carried that still speaks into the day before us. We have to take that and we have to embrace it and move forward with it as the Lord would place us in his master plan. Being faithful, whatever the part might be, whatever it is he's called us to do, wherever he's put us. Just being faithful in that little part, because your part and my part and it makes the whole of that which God is doing. It was while I had the first fellowship here in the D.C. area. You've heard me mention Hattie Hammond. And she'd probably been ordained for 60 years. She was ordained very young. She was in her 80s when I knew her, when I had time with her. But she was so in love with Jesus. She just loved Jesus. She was in love with Jesus. Her face would glow, and the Holy Spirit moved through her ministry. It was like she had more stories that she could tell because the Lord just orchestrated things. The Lord moved and was faithful. And it was one time that I was privileged to visit with her. I had been in a meeting. I had heard she was speaking somewhere. I decided I wanted to go. She actually got up to speak, stood there for about 5 minutes, and walked out of the meeting. She just walked out. They were videotaping it. She never would allow herself to be recorded, and they happened to be taping this one. There for 5 minutes, and she walked out. And the leadership apologized. They said she wasn't feeling well, you know, that she'd be back that night, and turned it into a little prayer meeting, all dismissed for lunch. But I could feel something. I could feel a presencing of God. See, the teaching that I had been under was teaching me to spend time waiting on the Lord, becoming sensitive to the Lord's presence, learning how to hear, you know. I could sense the presence of God powerfully. And I thought, you know what? They think she was sick, but I think something profound just happened. I said, y'all go to lunch. I'm staying right here. And she didn't come back that night. And they again said she wasn't feeling well. And I thought, well, you all think she's not feeling well. I know something profound happened. And it was after I went home. I could tell you more stories, but I want to try to stick to my vein of thought. That I got a phone call and somebody told me that they talked to her and she said she wasn't feeling good. And I said, well, if she said she wasn't feeling good, I need to know if she wasn't feeling good or if something profound happened, because I had a powerful experience. And if she just wasn't feeling good, if I imagined all that, I really need to know. I need to know this now. I called her up and asked if I could visit her. And she said, no. There's so much love in that no. I'd had problems with rejection issues. There was so much love in that no. It just ministered to my heart. Called her again. About a week later, can I come visit you? No. I called her a third time and she let me come. But when I got there and I told her why I had come, I still remember she dismissed her housekeeper, took me in the parlor, and she told me that while she was on the platform, that the presence of God came so powerfully that she couldn't release it. She said there wasn't anywhere to release it. That's kind of sad. They said there was nowhere to release it. She said the only thing she could do is walk out of that meeting. And she said the reason why she told me no the first two times was because she had been in visitation 3 weeks, starting with that meeting. She had been in visitation. And then don't ask me how this happened, but she took me, and the next thing I know, we were in the presence of God here. It was like fire. And I just realized that there were some things in me that if I wanted to be in that dimension of God's presence, they needed to be burned out. They needed to go. And that situation absolutely, positively changed my life, where I fell in love with Jesus. No longer just worried about, well, I don't want to get in trouble. You know, I want to make sure I make it to heaven, you know. No, none of that. But so in love with Jesus. How much closer can I get to you, Lord? How much can I know you more? What's on your heart? Delighting in fellowshipping with him. Just loving Jesus. I fell in love with Jesus. Absolutely changed my life. When she did show up to speak that night, they had somebody fill in for her. He was an outstanding speaker. But this was a divine arrangement. I had heard her speak the weekend before. And it was good. She wasn't eloquent, but it was from her heart. And the Lord always moved. Well, he was eloquent. He was a good speaker. And he actually presented her message better than what she presented it. But something was amiss. Something was amiss. And I'm saying, what is it, God? What is it? And again, I say this most respectfully, but I felt like the Lord told me, go up and shake his hand. Tell him it was a good message. It was. And see if you feel the same presencing of God that you feel when you're with Hattie. When I was with Hattie, just being next to her, it was like waves of the Lord. She was a carrier of the Lord's presence. And the Lord spoke to me and told me, don't go after the teaching. Go after the relationship from which the teaching comes. You'll have both. You'll have both. But that is what the Lord is looking for today. A people so in love with him. A people who delight in spending time with him. A people with whom he can fellowship and share his heart with. You know, Abraham was just sitting at the door of his tent when the Lord came. And Abraham, he could have been full of questions. His son hadn't been born yet and all of these promises. But his response was, let me minister to you. Let me refresh you. Let me go get a kid. Let me wash your feet. Let me refresh you. And in that atmosphere of worship, of just extolling the Lord and ministering to the Lord and loving the Lord said, shouldn't I share my heart with him and tell him that which I'm about to do? And because of the intercession that Abraham made, the righteous Lot was brought out of Sodom and Gomorrah. The scripture says the Lord remembered Abraham, and the angel actually took him by the hand and brought him out when he would have lingered. The intervention of God, the power of God, God's invitation to us as we're willing to just pour ourselves out at the feet of Jesus. Just love him. Just love him. Just fellowship with him. He's looking for those with whom he can share his heart today. That we might be birthed. And this is a year of birthing. That we might be birthed up from the natural realm into the spiritual realm. Into that place of coming into that function he has called us into, that his purposes might be fulfilled in the earth, but inviting us to be a part. There have been past moves of God, and there's come an understanding of justification by faith. We understand salvation. We understand sanctification, evangelism, the prophetic, past moves of God, where there's come restoration within the church of the ministries that God has placed within the church. But there is yet an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There is a Spirit-given authority that is to be restored to the body of Christ, to a people who will not misuse it, a people who have been trained and disciplined. See, that inner working of the Holy Spirit. What is God doing today? Well, a lot of it is hidden. There's a people being prepared to be a part of that which God is doing and will yet do in fuller measure as there comes a releasing of his presencing. See, carriers of his presence, but within that presencing, an authority, a word with consequences. Rod was talking about some natural principles and laws, but there's something even higher that God is calling us up into. He's given the church the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. That what is bound will be bound, what is loosed will be loosed. As we come into that place where the Lord is preparing a people to function and to move today. Our prayer closets are so important. Our corporate gatherings that we can gather together are so important, because the Lord is preparing a people. Isaiah 60 speaks of gross darkness on the face of the earth. And there are those who are trying to warn and are talking about the darkness. But what Isaiah 60 says is that in this time of gross darkness, that his glory is going to arise, that his glory is going to be seen on his people, that he's going to glorify the glory of his house. So when I see this gross darkness, that's not the part that I'm called to be a part of. It's happening. Scripture told us it was going to happen. But I'm a part of his glory. I'm a part of that company that God is calling together, that his glory might be seen, that his glory might arise. Thessalonians tells us that Jesus is coming, that he's coming back to be seen and admired in his people. Well, that's where God has called me. All that's going on, it's happening. But in the midst of it, there's a calling to the body of Christ that we would be carriers of his presence. That the glory of God that is resident. See, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ seen and admired in his saints. That this Christ, that we would so live our lives with all the pressure round about us, with all that's going on, that we would so live our lives that his glory would be seen, that Jesus would be seen, that there might come a releasing of an operation of God, because I believe there's yet a harvest to come into the church. See, the church is being called up into their calling. But then there's to be an impact. There's a harvest that is to come in. And the Lord has called us to be a part of that. What is God doing today? Simply preparing a people for the visitation, for the outpouring of his presence, of his spirit, that we might be carriers. Sandy said she saw flames of fire up. I see the Lord starting fires, the different churches and fellowships. I see places of his presence being ignited, where the Lord's establishing relationship in the spirit and groups and areas. I love it when the groups can come together, such as we are here. It's encouraging, to be able to share with each other and see what God's doing. A couple of scriptures I did have written down here is that Hebrews 11:6, he that comes to God, if I'm going to spend my time waiting on the Lord, spending time in his presence, I have to believe that he is. He is. Not the God of yesterday, not the God of tomorrow. He is. And he's a rewarder of those who seek him. He is. He's a present reality. He is. And then I recognize the method of God. Mark 3:13 through 15, it's where he went up, he called whom he would, they came, and he ordained them, 12 is a governmental number, he ordained them that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach, heal, deliver. I realize that my calling is to be with him. My calling is to be with him. And then it's a lifestyle. Isaiah 54, where it's speaking, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I might know how to speak a word in due season. He awakeneth my ear to hear when? Morning by morning. I mean, I can't wait on the Lord the first week of the year and then be good for the year. I do try to close in the beginning of every year. But morning by morning, that I'm hearing, that I'm receiving, I'm making myself available, and I'm responding to the Holy Spirit. I'm allowing the Lord to govern my life and to move me as he would move me and lead me as he would lead me. There's a beautiful progression in the Song of Solomon. Maybe if we come together, those who are able to come in May, I just want to walk through it and spend a little more time there. But you see the essence of what I shared, the spiritual hunger, the commitment, learning to hear the dealings of God, that joining together, becoming a part of his purposes, all laid out in the Song of Solomon. And I believe that's what the Lord is doing today. He's calling a people apart unto himself. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. He's just calling a people apart who will spend time with him, who will allow him to orchestrate and move through them. I think about that sometimes. I mean, there was a stirring inside of me. I didn't just do it presumptuously. It was stirring so much in me, I thought I was going to burst. But I wonder if I hadn't opened the door, if I wouldn't have taken that step of faith and obedience to the Holy Spirit. Now, I've carried this 20, 25 years. But if I hadn't have been obedient, I wonder if I would have gotten that phone call 3 days later to go find my faith home. I don't know. That's scary. One yes at a time. Just one yes at a time. That's all the Lord asks. One yes at a time will lead you to the fullness of his plan and his purpose for your life. Amen. Amen. We have communion here, and I'm going to ask the worship team if they would come up. But we're just going to come up, and we're going to receive communion together before we dismiss. But I just see the love of God. I feel like if ever there was a gathering of overcoming people, I'm looking at them, a people who have that consecration and that commitment just sold out to the Lord in love with Jesus. And I just see the love of God hovering over each one. You know, Scripture says that I love those who love me. There's the agape love of God. He loves the whole world. But there's that in the heart of God that responds to those who love him. You see it even in Psalms 91, because you have set your love on me, therefore, agape is the whole world. But there's that within the heart of God that responds to those who love him. And That Proverbs 8:17, I based my life on it. And there was a time where I was saying, Lord, I've been telling people that you love those who love you, and I'm not feeling very loved. And I'm not talking about just a bad day. I'm talking about I was jolted on my inside. Something happened I couldn't reconcile with my mind. And it took a year or two. I said, Lord, I have to know if this is true. If I'm going to tell people this, I have to know it's true. And when the Lord finally came and met me, it was like fire. And see, this visitation that's at hand, it has fire. But it was like fire. The Lord took me in his presence. I had my auto harp. I was playing my harp. I went down. Nobody was behind me. But I went into the presence of God, and that offense that was inside of me was burned out. Never bothered me again. And in that fire of his presence, I saw the excellency of who God was and his plan and purpose for my life. And that became as nothing. And I knew that I knew that I knew Proverbs 8:17 is true. God loves those who love him. I've been serving the Lord with my whole heart, and I just got kind of stomped on. And you know what? God used that in a powerful way. Not everything is good, but God will turn it and work it together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But we have to be willing for him to do that. Letting go of the old, letting go of the hard, letting go of the bad, and allowing him to work inside of us. There's a preparation of a people for the end time purposes of the Lord. This is the time that we're living in. And if we're just willing to say, Lord, maybe it's Lord, what happened? Maybe it's a Lord, I just love you so much. Whatever it might be, whatever season you're in. But as we're willing to keep our eyes on him, and I see such a people, he loves those who love him. And I just see the love of God surrounding you, covering you, and filling you. Doesn't matter what's happening round about you. His banner over you is love. He's surrounding you with his love and with his presence. And he will make a way, even where there's no way. Hallelujah. And he will be seen, and he will be glorified. Amen. Well, let's stand together.